Covenant Signs. That's what we're going to title this lecture. Just have some fun with it. Some of the signs that God has promised us that, hey, if He promises it, you can count on it. You can write it in your book. Because it's already written in your book, that's to say the letter He has written you. Barit is a Hebrew word that means covenant. What actually is the etymology of it? Where did it come from? Well, it means a compact or tract, contract, an agreement, signed by walking through between two pieces of flesh. Okay? I want to say that again. Barit, a contract or compact, came to by agreement and signed by walking between two pieces of flesh. Now, actually, this has a prime root and then yet another prime. Barit comes from baroh, which is to say winnow. Winnow, like, you know, if you were thrashing, you would bring it together and shock it like wheat right in the field. And I want you to latch on to each one of these that make up this contract, this covenant. And you will note that each of these things that are indicated in the etymology of the word covenant has to do with people, God's wheat, His people, or symbolized by the wheat, okay, by that grain. The word barah also means to feed. To feed what? Truth, of course. But the beauty of it is, listen carefully, the ultimate prime, I will call it, is bar, B-A-R in English, bar. And it means to feed, but it means child. It means a son. When you say bar in Hebrew, you're saying son. That's my boy, all right? Now, is it not ironic that God would say, let us, to the Elohim, make man, or create man, in our image? And then in the sixth chapter of Genesis, and I believe it's verse 3, states it grieved God that He had made man flesh also. And it is a fact that two people, two flesh bodies, come together, and the result thereof is bar. That is to say, a child. No gender intended. Then why in God's covenant could He say, your seed will be as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea? Because He knew how many of them there were. He knew how many had to be born of flesh. He knew how many had to walk in the flesh, as you are walking today. He knew what it would consist of. So you see, the covenant of God shows you the wisdom of God, yet in the simplicity that man can have a little better grasp of what covenant means, even to the depth. For within itself is a promise to the seed, a promise to the bar, the children, that they would have this walk. And then the covenant itself is the contract written in detail, telling you how to be successful in your walk in the flesh or between the flesh, which creates the family. Now, many might say, well, boy, that's going quite a ways into it. And what did I say? Yes, it is. But it's good for you occasionally. It's good for you. Good for you to think. Good for you to plow deep and to understand. And then the simplicity in which God put together this earth age, you begin then automatically, well, to walk between the two, your mother and your father, finally the two flesh to one, then to walk and grow in the flesh. Now, it kind of grieved God that He had to go to this, but then He would have had to have killed a third of His angels if He didn't, souls. And this way they have the privilege of proving themselves, if they will listen to the covenant, the very covenant itself. So with that having been said, Let's open our Bibles, if we may, to Jeremiah chapter 33. And let's just take some of the simple things, let's call them, that you come across in your daily life. That when you see it, it's really a promise from God, but some people just blindly plow on ahead, golly, it's another day again, and they don't appreciate what God has placed smack in their face. Jeremiah chapter 33, we're going to pick it up with verse 19. And let's just cover, I want you to think covenant, that's our subject today. What is our object? Our object is to document what that covenant means to you and what the signs of it are, so that you can enjoy it to its fullest in your daily life. Verse 19, and the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, so that we know who's speaking, 20, thus saith the Lord, if ye can break my covenant, that's a challenge, you got it, if ye can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, 21, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers. So what does that mean? That means that every morning when you wake up and you look over and the sun's coming up, that you can guarantee that God is going to have someone on the throne, and that God is going to have a priest people. You can count on it. And the covenant is what? That the offspring would become as numerous as the stars of heaven and the sands of the sea. And the only violation that would prohibit someone to an unforgivable sin in the respect of birth was the fallen angels that refused to be born to woman and left their habitation, are now in chains in everlasting darkness, Jude, the first six verses. Maybe I should not throw these things in, but I think it's good for you as they strike my mind as we're covering this subject, because it is a beautiful thing. And I know all of you have been present at a birth. And some would say, well, I haven't. Well, were you hatched? You know? I think you were, or you wouldn't be here. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, look at yourself. The miracle of God. And being an emergency medical technician, I've even delivered babes. And boy, what an education. It's beautiful. The miracle of God, that between the two flesh come the one. And that's barak. That birth, God's creation, innocent. So innocent, it doesn't hardly know night from day. And yet as that child will live, every time that sun comes up, that is a document that God's on the throne, that Christ is on the throne. And that also, we have a stone that's shuffled around, but don't worry about where the stone of scone is. We'll always have it. That's his promise. By that I mean the throne, the coronation chair, and that will always be there. It was his promise, always has been, always will be, until he, Yeshua Messiah, returns to take it for himself. What a time that's going to be. Every time that you wake in the darkness and you're frightened, it's dark, pitch dark. He told you, I have a covenant with the night. I'll protect you. That is my promise to you, that as long as there is darkness, I'm with you. So whether it's light or whether it's night and darkness in your life through the day, oh, my life is sure dark today. I've got a heap of troubles. Here's your way out, friend. He's made the promise. He'll never leave you, nor will he forsake you. And the covenant is, follow his plan. Become aware of it. Practice it. Hey, you're going to be okay. You'll still stump your toe occasionally, but he expects you to be tough. And Not be one of these, no, oh, Lord, I got to take 3 days off. I stubbed my toe. Whoa, it hurts. Oh, man. You know, I think I'm going to die. I'm bleeding. God wants can-do type people, all right? Sure, there's a little pain in life, but don't let them see you sweat on your first cruise, all right? You get it done. Get cracking. And God will give you a healing strength and power that works from within that you'll never know that that toe was even scabbed. When you put your faith in Him to know He's your Father and you're walking in His light and His darkness. Well, Lord, it was Satan's darkness. Well, Satan thinks it is too, but God's standing right there with a hammer. Okay, right behind Him, ready to whack Him when you ask Him to. If he gets too close. You have authority. That is God's sign. It isn't just a sunrise. It's a promise. It's a sign that God is with you. It's to assure you as you start that day, wow, my Father the Creator is with me. And when that sun goes down and it becomes dark, wow, there's another proof. He reminds you at least twice a day and for some 24 hours because there are other signs. His natural law, you know, that if you throw a ball up and it comes back down, that's natural gravity. God's still on the throne. Yep, He sure is. Everything's all right. So many signs He gives us. But think about it. That's His covenant. By passing through the flesh, that you enjoy those promises, and He'll see to it that you can get it done. All right? No problem. No step for a stepper. Okay? And we'll pick it back up with verse 21. Then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant. We got that. It's not going to be broken. Okay? That's the statement. Because what? Can you run out there and stop the sun from coming up tomorrow morning? Do you think you can change God's way? Do you think there is some nation that can keep the sun from coming up tomorrow morning? Or it going down tonight? I think not. It shows you how small man is and how incapable he is of altering God's plan. Thus, as it is written, it shall come to pass. Verse 22, and as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. He knew exactly how many of them there were. You can't number them. But, you know, wisdom is a wonderful thing. We know that approximately half the people are living now that have been born since Adam's time, put a pencil to it. You'll find that may seem a little shocking, but it's true. And so we think probably there's going to be somehow we're around 12 billion altogether. That's a lot of people, all right? That be that God knows, and it doesn't matter really, but it's just one of those things that as you watch and you gain knowledge and wisdom that make an interesting point. 23, moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, 24, consider. That means you stop and you think. You let it settle right down into your little old mind. Thou considerest not, thou not what this people have spoken, saying, the two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cast them off. He got rid of them. He divorced them. You'll find that written back in the third chapter of Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8. Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Now, how well do you read? Okay? Do we have to worry about that? Oh, it sounds kind of bad. God forsook them. Who said that? You want to read it again? Did God say it? No. Who said it? The people. You can't listen to people. They'll lead you astray every time. Well, it's the Bible. Yeah, God's teaching you to not listen to people. He's telling you, I won't leave them. They may think I am. There is no way, as long as the sun comes up and goes down, I'm not going to leave them. But the people say, he got to leave us. Well, don't pay attention to the people. They will depress you, compress you, and confuse you so much that you're not going to know, come here from Sikkim. All right? You won't be fit to hunt with. All right? Here or in heaven, do not listen to man without checking him out in God's Word. I just thought that might be a good place to make a point, you know. We were rolling so good, and then here comes this negativity into the system. And who was it brought by? People. Well, don't pay attention to them, all right? Okay, verse 25. Thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night. Now listen to this, beloved. If my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, in other words, if my natural laws of heaven and earth do not continue. That's why I mentioned gravity. Well, it's getting winter time. No, we're not going to have a winter this year. You better get out your long handles. It's coming, all right? I mean, God's nature is not going to change. Well, you don't understand, brother. We have a hothouse going on here. A hothouse, that's not right. We have an effect from El Nino. El Nino and them burning all these gases, you know, that's going to change the world. Well, that's not what God said. And I'm going to tell you something. If you check history back, if you know anything about geology and archaeology, the study of tree rings and so forth, there was an ice age here, and then there was a hot time. I found date trees in the middle of the desert where there was a swamp in Arizona. It changes like night and like day. But God is the one that changes it. He changed it with the overthrow. So, again, don't get excited about man and what he says. I don't care if he is a scientist. You know, science is coming around. They're realizing anything they discover, it'll fit right here just about, if it's accurate, okay? Anyway, God's ordinances, they're not going to change. Do you know that's why you can take a computer and you can know exactly when to push the button on Cape Canaveral to fire or launch the shuttle so that it can go up, get in position exactly just so-so, push another button and put a satellite 22,300 miles out there so we can teach God's Word through it and from it, right? I mean, why? Why can man do that? Because God's plan is perfect. Therefore, it's no big deal for a computer to figure it out. You can count on it. That's exactly where it's going to be, and that's exactly where it's going to stay. Well, I guess we had a little experience where one didn't stay, did it? Kind of went, but, oh well. Another subject for another time. I may get myself in trouble here with some of the people we do business with if I discuss it too much, but interesting what. Okay, God's natural laws are the same, and they will stay the same. 26, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. I'm going to bring salvation to them, is what he's saying. He's saying, if somebody can change my nature, then I won't do it. But otherwise, you can count on it. Just as sure as the sun comes up in the morning and it gets dark tonight, God's going to bring salvation back. He's returning the Messiah. That is our chief priest. Do you understand? That's why it's so important that you take note. The son of David, the chief priest, a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I mean, you can count on it. And isn't it wonderful to have something you can count on? You ladies, there you got the old man. Can you count on him? As long as he wants it that way, you know. A man is the easiest person in the world to get along with as long as he gets his way. So, you know, in this hot weather, I should not tease this way. I could start a terrible fight. Anyway, everybody's wonderful, and that's what makes it count. I'm just talking about those other people. Okay, and I shouldn't be. Well, you're awake, and here we go. God's laws do not change. Therefore, the signs from our Father to you is every time you see that sun come up, go down, and in between, as long as that nature is what it is, He's with you. It's a sign that His covenant, you can almost call it a marriage, is still very strong with you. And what is the seed of Abraham? The seed of Abraham is the offspring of the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Many people know where the house of Judah is, but not very many people know where the house of Israel is. The 12 tribes that are as numerous as the stars of the heaven and sands of the sea. That's a bunch of people, my friend. There's only 19 million people in the tribe of Judah. I mean, the census documents that. That's not numerous, necessarily. That's only one tribe. Those other tribes scattered over the Caucasus, later called Caucasians, settled and migrated in Europe, and then many to this great, the Americas, north and south. And Abraham in the Hebrew tongue means the father of many nations. In other words, he's supposed to be a blessing. This is part of the covenant. Like it or lump it, the covenant is that he would be a blessing to many nations, or the father of many nations, meaning the ethnos, all other peoples, blessed through Christ, the Savior. But those houses have duties to do, and God is not going to release them from those duties. He will always provide a people that will have eyes to see and ears to hear, to take this message concerning the covenant forward, whereby those that he intends to utilize will be able to function as we draw nearer to that time to usher in the second advent. Let's go to Psalm 74. Okay, does the psalm sound good? Another good song, as many as we had there. 74. Psalm 74 is a maskil of Asaph song. What does that mean? Well, maskil means instruction, right? Meaning what then? Well, just what it said. It's instruction for what's Asaph. Asaph is the collector of the people. What collects people? Truth. So this is instructions from the one that collects the people, which is really our Father, His Word, that draws people to the truth, but it is for your instruction. Important. Verse 1. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Question. Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Hey, he gets upset. And he corrects those. Now here, you know, good old Christians, it's so easy to put them on a guilt trip. I'm talking about the ones that disobey him, not you. Well, sometimes I do. Well, he lets you know in a hurry, too, doesn't he? All right, you got the picture? He sure will. But it's because he loves you. All right? 2, remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old. How long ago? Purchased it when? Of old. The rod of thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion, wherein thou hast dwelt. He's going back there. It's already paid for. It's purchased. An awesome price was paid for it. And you know what an inheritance is? That's exactly as you feel it is. Who's going to inherit it? His children. Well, I'm one of those.
You got it.
All right. 3, lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolation, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. Where's that? Church? What has the enemy done in church? I didn't think you had to worry about anything in church. Well, tune in someday to what's going on in churches.
Friend, this our Bible, and you don't have to understand it. You don't have to understand the book of Revelation or anything about it, because you're going to be gone. You're out of here. You're so far out, we're never going to reach you.
That's what's happened in the sanctuary. That's not what the Bible says, but that's what a bunch of Bible thumpers are saying. Beware of any man that ever tells you, you don't have to know what God is saying, because that's Satan speaking. Direct, right in the sanctuary, right in the house of God. And you think God doesn't know it? You bet He does. And He'll crush it. That's why you hear them beg and moan and whine and groan, claiming blessings, but they're never going to get any. Because God won't bless that kind of stuff. All right, period. That's it. End of story. Right in the sanctuary, that's where you want to be careful. 4, thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregations. They set up their incense for signs. All that. You want to hear a sign? Hey, when you see the cars being emptied and the train stacking up and everything, that's it. That's the sign. Have you ever read that in the Bible? I haven't. You know, here you got these people just taking off like butterflies. Christ is coming here. I don't know where they're going. But anyway, they give all kinds of signs. There's just one problem with them. They're not biblical. You can't document them in Father's Word. 5. A man was famous according as he had lifted up axes upon the thick trees. There was a time a man was famous for what he could actually get done. That was building God's sanctuary. That was adding to God's work. But, beware of that word. 6. But now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. Instead of building God's work up, they're tearing it down, trying to destroy it, the very house of God. That's the many-membered body, in case you're not with it here, okay? 7. They have cast fire into thy sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft I would have taken you like a mother hen would her little chickens, and thou wouldest not. Look at her, his favorite place. But look at his house today. The house of God is to teach God's Word, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, our subject or topic matters, but letting God's Word do the teaching, not man. How often do you find that? Well, 8. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues, churches of God in the land. Not one. So let's root them out. Verse 9. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that knoweth how long. Oh, there isn't. Again, who's talking here? The people, okay, for your instruction. How many signs do you see? Were you up at sunrise this morning? Will you be up at sundown? It's all kinds of signs. It's people that are weak in the Word that would make this statement. You can't make that statement because you see the signs of God. You're familiar with them. 10. Oh God, how long shall the adversary reproach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Can you answer that question? I can. He's going to blaspheme the name of God until chapter 20 of the great book of Revelation, when we unzip the great opening to the fiery lake, and we're going to walk that dude in. with all his offices and let him sink to the bottom. Then he'll stop, okay, because his very soul will be blotted out. That's when. That's what God's word will do for you, beloved. 11. Why withdrawest thou thy hand, even thy right hand, pluck it out of thy bosom? In other words, these people are saying, like, God, you're just standing up there. This means you're not doing it. That's an idiom, a Hebraism that means they're not. He's not doing anything. Well, yes, he is. Every morning, every night, all day long, he's right there. But people get impatient. And when they're biblically illiterate, they don't know what a sign is in the first place. It would be like you deciding you're going to leave Gravette, Arkansas, and go to Tulsa, to Oklahoma City, and you can't read or understand road signs. You're going to have a hard trip. Okay? Hard, hard trip. Well, why do that spiritually then? Why go through life not being able to read with understanding? Foolish. And man, it just bloodies your old head over and over and over. Learn his word and learn to listen to him and be able to spiritually divide the word of God. That is to say, rightly divide it, to pay attention to who's talking, whether you know you have to put any stock in it or not, or say, aha, there's a lesson for me. Don't do that trip. Okay? So away we go. He was standing. He said, God, do something. Well, he was. All you have to do is ask him, and he'll intercede in your life. 12. For God is my king of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Boy, he's there. He's been there, always will be there, and nobody can change it. 13. Thou didst divide the sea by thy strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. This is leading up to Satan. 14. Thou breakest the heads of Leviathans in pieces and gavest him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Talking about delivering the people. 15. Thou didst cleave the fountain and the food. Thou driest up mighty rivers. So they passed over. I mean, God can do anything. Why don't you do something? He already has, and he still is. And don't you ever doubt him. That's a dangerous thing. 16. The day is thine, the night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. And you see, this person knows who created the sun, and they know about the night. But see, do they know it's a sign? Well, it's indicating that to you, that you pay attention, for it is a sign to you. The fact that he did create them. The fact that his natural laws continue on is his promise, that his covenant, your flesh body that walks from the two flesh that became one, that you have his promise, life and success, as long as you heed to and pay attention. 17. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. That's even the seasons. That's very natural. You see how much wisdom is floating before your eyes in this psalm of instruction, but how many will filter and hang on to that has to do with the covenant? 18. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, scoffed at, okay, O Lord, and that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. They make fun of you, God. You don't have to tell God that. Okay? Never let your mind be so great as to think God needs to know they're mocking him. He already knows. Okay? 19. Oh, deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove, that's your loved one, unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. That's to say, we that are humble before you. Doesn't mean literally poor as you take it in English. Don't forget us. Well, he's not. Never has, and he never will. Verse 20. Have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty, deception, vice, but don't let them conquer you. To have the word covenant mentioned in the same verse that is a sign to you that God is with you. You know how to handle it, don't you? If the old Leviathan, that's the dragon, the crocodile, that is to say Satan, comes into your life, you don't know how to tell him where to go? And in whose name? He takes orders from you. You don't take them from him. That is to say, if you're a child of God. I mean, it's going to get old in a hurry if you don't. He's going to eat you alive. He's going to chew you up. If you don't order him out of away from your family, your people, and back to hell where he belongs, in the name of Jesus Christ, to cleanse and let that negativity depart from your family and be positive. Can do. Blessed of God. Because the signs are all around you. You that are in a rural area are so blessed that you have a better understanding of God's Word because of the agricultural terms that He utilizes. 21. Oh, let not the oppressed return to shame. That's disappointed. Don't worry, they won't. Let the poor, the humble, and needy praise thy name. They better. 22. Arise, O God, and plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproached thee daily. You don't have to tell God these things. It's okay to say it. But you better know He knows it. You better know He's going to do something about it. 23. Forget not the voice of thine enemies, the tumult of those that rise up against thee increaseth continually. You know what this word increaseth is in the Hebrew? Ascendeth. There also descendeth. Flesh between flesh. And a third of the most wicked had to be born in the time that Antichrist would reappear, in my opinion. I repeat, in my opinion. That means you got a whole truckload of them with you today. Let me say that again. I truly believe, call it an educated guess, that the third of people that followed Satan in the first earth age are living today, during the time in which Satan will be kicked out of heaven again. That's why you have a generation that seems to be spaced out. Some of that space is not hard stuff, okay? It's simply the way they are, their souls. Let's go to the New Testament to complete. Let's go to the great book of Luke. Luke chapter 1. When God makes a promise, He keeps it. Luke chapter 1. Poor old Zechariah, he was, you know, a priest, an active Levitical priest. And God come along and said, hey, you're too old to have a baby, but your wife's going to have one. Y'all are going to do just fine. And here comes John. Well, Zechariah couldn't hardly believe it, and he questioned it, and God took his speech away. I mean, he couldn't speak a word. And if you want to put a preacher in pain, just take away his mouth, and he's got trouble, okay? So that's what has happened here, verse 64. And at the time the baby was born, and he wrote on a piece of paper, you know, his wife said, name him John. If there's no John in your family, we're not naming him John. And Zacharias took a piece of paper and wrote down, his name is John. Why? God said to name him John. That's why. 64. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. This is after John was born, of course. Luke chapter 1, verse 64. Verse 65. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. I mean, it was scooting. We got a special baby born here, and he is announcing and is the forerunner of the real Messiah, he that we have waited on lifetime after lifetime, umbilical cord to umbilical cord. It was racing through the hills, 66. And all that they heard them laid up, and all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. Naturally, when you make a stand, beloved, know God's hand is with you. You can count on it. You can believe that. Put your faith in it. Exercise it. 67. And his father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and prophesied, saying, now this is prophecy. God's never going to leave you without these prophets, okay? 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. This is the dispensation, that 2,000-year period approximately. 69. And hath raised up an horn, that's power of salvation, for us in the house of his servant David. He that the covenant was made with, to, and about. Horn always stands for power. Okay? 70. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Remember, we heard some people back there in Psalms saying, we ain't got no prophets. No prophets anymore. Anybody ever lays that trip on you, read them this verse. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. What did he say to Jeremiah, the one we started out with? Jeremiah's chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. He says to Jeremiah, I chose you before you entered your mother's womb. Well, how did he do that? He chose him before he made the walk through the flesh. He states it, makes it very clear, lest you think the etymology of the word covenant be strange. Jeremiah was there. And you have these prophets. The trouble is, most people are not familiar with them, because what these prophets gave was all the same message, because there was only one speaker, and that was God. That was our Father. 71. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. I like that. Boy, you know, that's why you can almost pray for somebody if they say, I just hate that person, you know. God doesn't like it. He's going to whack them. He'll whack into them, I'll tell you. Verse 72. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. All beloved, don't ever forget that. That covenant is his promise. It's his word. Do you think God would go back on his word? Not as long as you see the sun come up and go down. Every time you see it, you rejoice. Just like when you see a rainbow, that's another sign. It means he's not going to flood this earth, and that he's going to be personally in your pocket. By that, please don't think I'm blaspheming. I'm saying that close to you. And to remember his holy covenant, 73, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham. And, of course, don't forget what Abraham means, the father of many nations. That's all children. That he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you delivered out of the hands of your enemy? I know they're still reaching for you. I know they're still trying to get a grip on you. But friend, if you feel them touching your ankle, you put the 13 right in their mouth. You kick them off quicker than they got on. Well, that doesn't sound very Christian. No, that's very Christian. I'm talking about enemies, not our loved ones here. All right. You're supposed to love your enemies. That means you correct them. And sometimes it takes a big old 13. And if you really love them, you'll do it too. All right? They need it. Otherwise, how are they going to know they're going to hell if you don't talk straight? That's tough love, but it gets it done. All right? Our enemies cannot have power over us. They may think they have it. It may look like they have. But, friend, they can't see behind the veil where God is and what he's doing and what our friends there behind the veil are doing. 75. in holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. We'll have a bad day. No, all the days of our life. Not part of them, not a few. We're not playing roulette here with one here and one there. Every day. 76. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways. Do you know who that prophet is that we would have with us always? Who was the prophet that showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration? It was Elijah. Elijah is symbolic of all prophets. And all that partake in the ministry that announces the second advent or preparing in that return is of that ministry. That prophet will always be with us. Elijah. That the spirit of Elijah is what I'm talking about. If you don't believe it, read the last four verses of Malachi, chapter 4. Christ would not return until Elijah, the prophet, would return before, or just before, that great day of the Lord. What? Announcing the coming of the true Lord, the second advent. That's what it's talking about here. And the reason I want to emphasize that is why? Because God uses people in the flesh to make announcements. When He touches them, He used this one, this child that was not Messiah, but was John, that announced the coming. 77. To give knowledge. What are they to do? To give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission of their sins. Repent and be baptized. That was John's message in part. But knowledge consists of how much of God's Word. Don't you answer anything but all of it, or you're going to have an unhappy pastor standing up here. Okay? All of it. 78. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring. You want another sign? I hope you're listening. Whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. You know what the day spring is? The morning star. And friend, I hope you know the difference between the true morning star and the fake. Because you know what the word Lucifer is in the Hebrew tongue? Morning star. Boy, he latches on quick, doesn't he? He likes to deceive, but you're too sharp for him. God's not going to allow you. So even the morning star, when you're in the darkness and you think the sun is never coming up and Satan's got control, pow, there's that beautiful morning star popping its good message down to you, whereby you can grab onto it and say, "My Father liveth. He lives." The song was appropriate, wasn't it? Verse 79. To give light to them that sit in darkness. You got that? Absorb it and settle it in your mind when you're having a dark day, when you think you're in a dark night in your life. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's to have the mind of peace or peace of mind in your life, whereby you understand what's happening in the world and use and exercise the authority that He has given you to bring peace to others. 80. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. He wasn't really a show-off, and though he was such a prophet, he really didn't dress very well. And Jesus would say at one time, "What did you go down there to see? What did you go down to see about old John? A man dressed in fine apparel, blue suits and fancy ties?" No. Well, it's not so fancy, come to think about it, but just the point made. Okay? No, he wore prophet's clothes, all right? He didn't have to advertise. Why? God was with him. And God is with that spirit of Elijah in which even John came. Was John Elijah? No. John would declare that in the book of John, all right? John the Baptist would say, no, I am not that prophet. And he wasn't. Why? Because he came only in the Spirit. So the Spirit of Elijah, that prophet that announces the coming, the second coming now, second advent, is with you when you're in his word and when you spread that knowledge, when you plant those seeds. That's why God blesses you when you participate. Nigh at the growth that he has given a little old church in northwest Arkansas that booms around the world and quite frankly is the largest network in existence today. That may surprise you. Don't tell anybody, okay? And you people on television, don't pay attention to me here, okay? But we go around the world in a big way. We just don't brag about it. Why? It's God's network. And boy, is it effective. And that's why we love all of you that come in from across the countries. And you look a lot better in person than you do through one of them big old black tubes there. So it's good to have you here. So, covenant. Barit. To pass between two pieces of flesh and become one flesh. To be the seed that grows and is winnowed and that feeds God's people. Bara, the children. How precious the covenant of God. How he loves his children and how he stands behind them and in front of them and around them and in them. Don't ever be afraid when you're familiar with his word and know how to utilize the power of his two-edged sword, which is to say the word of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the truth. We thank you, Father, for using these. It is a pleasure serving you. Touch each heart. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Free introductory package. Hey, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student, saying, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast. Let's get into some questions here. This is one we had to put back yesterday. I started it after we'd run out of time. Patricia from Georgia. Is it wrong to call a preacher on the TV and correct him on how his teaching and what he says the Bible says if it's not true? Now, you know, naturally, being as I teach on television, it makes one wonder, doesn't it? Well, no, but be sure, it's always better. If you're going to correct a teacher, do it in a scholarly way. By that I mean, probably you're not going to be able to talk to him by telephone anyway. Number one, coming out the gate, forget it. And if earnestly, sincerely, you think he is in error, document it. Now, don't try to document usually to a preacher by what some other preacher has said. It's got to be done from the manuscripts, okay? Because there are many teachers. I don't consider myself necessarily to be a preacher. I'm a teacher. But, hey, I don't care what men say. I've heard it all. And a lot of men are right on, and some are doing a good job. But I go totally and completely by what God's Word says. All right? So traditions of some church or something else, I would pass that off as a puff of smoke. Right? And I'm not criticizing them. I'm saying, as a scholarly opinion as to whether something is correct or incorrect, there's only one way, and that's God's Word. I only say that to you. I don't know what preacher it is that you want to write to, but do him a favor and document from the Word of God where he is wrong. And if you feel led, do it. Do it. Nothing wrong with it at all. Most pastors really appreciate it. I make mistakes. Let's see, about 5 years ago I made one. No, maybe even a little sooner than that. I don't know. But I have. I did. I really made one last month. Do you know what I did? I thought about correcting it even in the broadcast. And then I changed my mind, because occasionally I do that. It wouldn't hurt anyone. But it was an error. And I thought, I like for people to document what I say. Because my whole purpose is to drive you into the manuscripts, into the Word. And I don't care, really. It's not too important to me what you think about the manuscripts after you get there. Okay? We can be buddies, you know, and still even believe different things in certain ways, all right, as long as we all love the Father, okay? But do it right. Let the minister know, all right? But don't try to correct him by what some other preacher said. That's, you're wasting your time there. Okay, Robert from Alabama. My question is concerning Job. The Lord gives us power over our enemies. Why did God subject him to those hardships? I've heard scholars debating this book on, and she mentions a historical channel, not the History Channel, but one very close. But it made me upset to hear them debate it. They're not Christians. Well, don't ever let a non-Christian, do your translating for you. All right, you're headed for trouble if you do, because people. I like to utilize in that thing betrothal, the word betrothal. You know, if a non-Christian interprets the writings, historical writings, they're going to say Jesus was married, because Mary Magdalena was betrothed to him. But that's spiritual, just as all Christians are getting ready for the wedding, so to speak. All right, got it? God didn't subject him to that. God allowed Satan to try. But Job didn't have to put up with any of it coming out the gate.
Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast?